It's always good to be back at Fair Oaks and see these familiar faces. And I do appreciate the choir here. Thank you. Our lesson this morning, I think, is a hard one. It's one of three stories that Jesus told that are recorded in the 25th chapter of Matthew. And these are stories that Jesus told right before the events of Palm Sunday, which is coming up rather quickly. As I read, listen for the word of God to you from Matthew 25. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourself." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The word of God for the people of God. I often wonder where God is in all the horrible situations in our world today. God seems utterly delayed in showing up as the bridegroom does in our lesson. I have visited Syria the last 4 years. As I spent time with kids in schools, the Presbyterian Church has set up in refugee camps, I can't imagine where God is in this hellish situation where children live freezing cold in cotton tents with not enough to eat. And where was God in New Zealand when 50 Muslims were killed by a mad shooter? Where is God when you face the death of one you love? Where is God when an immigrant fleeing violence is deported to his or her home and knows well that they will be killed by gang members? Where is God when you receive a diagnosis of cancer? Many of us, even those of us who are people of faith, face situations where God seems absent, gone. We keep asking, where is God? What is God doing? Like the bridesmaids, we can't figure out where the bridegroom is. Why isn't God here? I confess that God and I often go at it on what God is doing or not doing in our world. I want an awareness of God's presence and some assurance that God is at work in the messes that I encounter every day. The Gospel of Matthew was written to people who were also asking the question, where is God? It was written probably around 85 AD, 20 years earlier, Jerusalem, including the temple, had fallen to Rome. Much of it was destroyed. Jews and Christians had fled for their lives to every area of the empire. Then came increasing hostility between Christians and Jews. Christians were persecuted by both synagogue and by Rome. Where was Jesus when they needed him so desperately? Jesus had promised he would return, but they did not find him among them. Where was he? Matthew tells of Jesus responding to their question with a perplexing story, our lesson for the day. It is the story of a wedding. But the way weddings were held in Jerusalem in the first century were quite different from our weddings. At these weddings, the groom left his home and walked to the bride's home. He then took the bride and took her back to his home. As they moved from the bride's home to the groom's home, bridesmaids would bring out lights that were bright, and they would escort the couple and perhaps the family to the groom's home. Each bridesmaid had a lamp she held high, so the street was full of lights, and I can imagine there was also wonderful celebration and singing and music. It was a great procession. In our story, the bridesmaids waited, and they waited, and they waited for the groom. Why had he not shown up? That must have been a very frustrating time for them. Where was the groom? Why wasn't he coming when he was supposed to? He needed to be on time. Would he come? It was such a long wait, they got tired and took a nap. And then they heard the bridegroom was coming. Half of the bridesmaids had planned ahead and were aware that things might not go as they had planned. They had brought extra oil for their lamps. The others just brought what was already in the lamp. As they waited and waited and waited, all that oil was used up. What were the latter to do? They didn't have any way of providing light for the couple, and they had made a commitment that they would do so. They weren't prepared for the lateness of the groom. The foolish ones asked the wise ones to give them some oil. But they refused, knowing that if they gave the oil, they would not be able to participate in the procession. So the foolish ones went to find a dealer so they could buy some new oil. And by the time they returned, it was too late to get into the wedding festivities. The challenge for the bridesmaids and for us is to keep the oil supply plenteous, not knowing when the bridegroom will come, not knowing when God will be known as present among us, acting for those who are suffering greatly or celebrating. We are called to be prepared to have the oil for whatever happens. Lacking oil, unprepared. We know the situation of the foolish bridesmaids. We often have no oil. God seems somewhere else, and we feel deserted by God. Deserted because we have never opened ourselves to our traditions so that our roots in the faith are shallow, and we don't stick with them when the bridegroom is delayed. And there are no easy answers or assurances. We feel deserted because we are bound to our culture that holds on to tight society's values and is often utterly contrary to our faith. We have no oil because of our failure to be stewards of God's world, living with hands clutched instead of hands wide open. Because we are unwilling to make the commitments necessary, it's easier to drift along and just do what everybody else does. We have no oil because we don't want to take the freedom and responsibility that God gives us. For different reasons, for each of us, we often are unprepared, each lacking oil, whatever that oil is in our lives. We need to confront our personal reasons to name them. Confronting our personal reasons for not having oil is difficult to do when we don't see God at work, when we're not sure what faithful behavior is, when things seem utterly out of control. We are haunted by the question of how to keep that oil when God seems absent and we feel alone and dejected. Having no oil is not just an issue we individuals have to face. It is also a challenge for the church at this time when the church is really not sure anymore what God is about and what the church is to be. We are like the church to which Matthew wrote, trying to figure out where in the land God is leading us. The issues facing the church are complex. We don't know how to live faithfully day in and day out, especially when it doesn't seem to make much difference. It is tiring to keep at it. So the church clings to what worked in the past, even if it doesn't work anymore. Preparedness is too difficult for us often. We understand not having much oil. Keeping that oil, being prepared, no matter what happens, is our challenge, as well as it was the challenge of the bridesmaids. And it's not easy. How do we keep a healthy supply of oil? I think of some things that do help us keep that supply intact and even plenteous. Things that free us to trust God will come even when there is no evidence to our belief. First, we need to be grounded in Scripture. Our key task is not to figure out what we think should happen in a hard situation, but rather to determine what it is that God wants in that situation. Where is God leading? What is God's vision? We have to let Scripture get a hold of us. That doesn't mean that Scripture gives us nice, simple answers. Rather, Scripture works in us by changing the way that we understand, the way we see, the way we act. We are called to let Scripture reverberate in us and begin to change the ways that we see the situations we face. And how surprised we often are as we let that Scripture reverberate about what God is doing. Another way to be prepared is to do justice. We can skip flowery words and instead stand in solidarity with those who are hungry, homeless, with immigrants, with the suffering. We can do risky things that might get us in some trouble with certain people. As we put our lives on the line, by doing God's work of justice, we begin to see the hard things facing us differently. Justice and the oil supply are somehow connected. Another aspect of keeping a good supply of oil is living in community. We like to think we can be a person of faith alone. But central to the life of the church, to the life of faith, is a life of intense relationship with a community, with sharing ministry. That early church shared everything every family owned, as well as sharing their joy and pain. As a pastor, I like being prodded with questions, theological questions, that make me think afresh, that come only because of conflicts and questions in the community's life. Oil flows from living in community, and it fills our lamps. For me, another way of getting oil for a lamp is wrestling with hard issues. God and I are having quite a heated conversation over immigration in our country right now. I don't understand how people can be sent back to a land where they will be killed by gang members. I'm haunted by why any child should have to live in fear in a refugee camp, always cold in the winter. I have to wrestle daily with what God is about. I still have no answer that satisfies me or are helpful to friends who are suffering. But I find that slowly insights come as God and I go at it, and insights come even when there are no solutions that seem like they will work. And I think another thing that's very hard for me is to be willing to be surprised by what God is about. We learn in Scripture that God is continually doing new things. I am sure those original disciples were often just utterly blown away by what Jesus taught or what he did. It didn't make sense to them. It was something new, but they had to be open to the newness of what God is about in this time and this place. Part of the difficulty is like those foolish bridesmaids. We don't really believe that the bridegroom will come. We wait, but with little hope. We nap often. We have our own ideas of what God should do, so we can easily miss what God is doing. Our perceptions can easily blind us to God's activity in the world. We are not prepared often for God's newness. The question we are challenged to ask is, what does it take to be a follower of Jesus for the long run? How does the church live as a church in the world when you're not sure when the bridegroom will come, when Jesus will be recognized or known as present? What kind of preparation do each of us need to make to be able to wisely await the insights God gives? How can we, followers of Jesus, stay prepared and not run out of oil? Like the bridegroom, God comes when we least expect it. Comes in ways that we don't anticipate. Are you prepared to recognize God's presence in your life, in this church, and in our messed up world? Be prepared. Have the oil ready. That is our challenge. Amen.